Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Sunday on Fox, Dak and Zeke lead Skip's Cowboys in their home opener against Matt Ryan and the Falcons, or you may see the 49ers take on the Jets or Aaron Rodgers hosting the Lions. All the NFL action kicks off at 1 Eastern. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. Sundays are so fun and so normal again. And speaking of Aaron Rodgers, well, his week one performance looked like a throwback game for the former Super Bowl champ. Aaron Rodgers threw for 364 yards, 4 touchdowns in his season debut, while his heir apparent rookie QB, Jordan Love, could only watch from the sideline. Pro Football Focus was also watching, rewarding Rodgers by not only naming him the best quarterback of week one, but also as their offensive MVP for the league's opening weekend. So, Shannon, tell me this. Can Aaron Rodgers keep this up?
Skip, they won't ask him to. I think the thing is Minnesota probably went to the game looking at the kind of games that Aaron Jones had against them last year, and they probably geared up to stop Aaron Jones from running the football. They probably read what Pro Football Focus, probably was listening to Skip Bayless saying Aaron Rodgers is not that guy anymore. And he said, okay, y'all hit hard. Y'all must have forgot. I'm still Aaron Rodgers. I'm still 12. I still play in Lambeau, and I can do this on the road, or I can do it in my own building. And he showed him. You know what this man is, Skip. He's still that guy. Even though you don't want to believe that he's a leading man, he's still a leading man on the blockbuster field. Yes, he showed that.
Yes. He continued to show that. That's the question.
Skip, the thing is, when we look at Aaron Rodgers, we say, well, Aaron Rodgers had an off year. An off year for him is 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You know why that's an off year? Because we used to having him see him throw 45 touchdowns for 4,000 yards with 5 interceptions. So just imagine, you having an off year, and you got the best touchdown to interception ratio. Wow. That's off. Let that sink in, Skip. Aaron Rodgers will be just fine. He's going to be in the MVP discussion. He'll throw for another 40, somewhere between 4,000 and 4,500 yards. He'll have 30 touchdowns. And guess what, Skip? He'll be single-digit interceptions, and they're going to win that division again.
My turn. So, read last night in Pro Football Focus that, interesting, Green Bay came out incredibly conservatively to start the game, obviously scripting sort of West Coast style.
Yeah, 15 plays.
10 times he dropped back, Aaron Rodgers did, generating an average depth of target of 4.4 yards, average time to get rid of the ball, 1.75 seconds.
Yes.
That was over a half second quicker than any other quarterback all Sunday in scripted plays. So it's a short leash that he was on to start the game. He's just like, bing, 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 bing.
Well, what is Minnesota known for, Skip?
Yep.
Zimmer, it's pressure. Rush. So yep. let me get the ball out of my hands and see. I'm like, oh, we can hold up. Get down the field, Devontae. Get down the field.
Final minute of the first half, kaboom, here they came. Downfield. But guess who was playing in the defensive backfield for the Minnesota Vikings? Two rookies were playing. Cameron Dantzler and Holton Hill were having to start that game. And when lined up outside, they allowed 13 catches on 17 targets for 167 yards.
Okay.
Yikes.
Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem, and that's going to be an ongoing problem for these Minnesota Vikings. They can rush the passer. Can they defend the pass? I don't know.
No.
So, what do I know about Aaron Rodgers going into the year? Well, Pro Football Focus becoming my Bible here. They didn't even rank Aaron Rodgers in the top 50 of NFL players.
Do you believe that?
I didn't do it. They didn't do it, right?
Oh.
It wasn't my choice. It was their choice
to say no.
I read it, and I read it to you then. I'm going to read it to you again. Rodgers has become ever more evidently part of the problem in Green Bay, and his own team spent the offseason laying plans to minimize his role in 2020 and replace him beyond that.
How'd it work out for him?
Woo!
How'd that work out?
Rodgers finished the season last year, the regular season, ranked number 9 among quarterbacks. Not terrible, but not what you say.
Hold on. What did the other guy finish? He wasn't ranked 9.
What other guy?
Your guy.
The GOAT? My guy didn't have Davante Adams.
Oh, no, no, that's good.
Big time. Whew. And by the way, from week 8 onwards, he ranked 17th among quarterbacks. So he really started to trickle down.
I want to know one thing, because this is what I'm starting to see. When we like a guy, it's all about winning. Mm. When we don't like said guy, it's about stats. Now, Tom Brady, his first 8, 5, 7 years, didn't have the stats that Peyton Manning had. Mm. But he was winning championships, and we value playoff wins. We value success in winning more than individual accolades. Now the roles are reversed. Mm. Now we want stats, or we want wins. I just need to know. Mm.
What does this do for you? Tom Brady has won 6 Super Bowls with 6 fourth-quarter game-winning drives. That impress you?
What did he do it last year?
Ooh. Well, those are Super Bowls.
No, last year wasn't a Super Bowl. Last year. So, in other words, when Coach you said that's the Bible, that's the football Bible. They said he was part of the problem, and they went out to replace him. Mm-hmm. So what did Coach Belichick do by not bringing Tom Brady back? What did Coach Belichick say? I don't need Pro Football Focus. What did he say about his team?
I'm going on 70 years of age. I deserve the right. I have earned the right to go win one by myself. Get him out of here.
Okay, so Green Bay said, look here, this is our team. Mm. Aaron Rodgers doesn't own this team. So if we want to bring a quarterback on, we're going to bring a quarterback on. That was no problem. But now all of a sudden, so Coach Belichick, who's there? See, they're speculating. Ain't no speculation with Coach Belichick. Mm. He did it. Okay. He did that. Well, so you want to impress me? If they really thought Aaron Rodgers was the problem, don't draft a quarterback. Get rid of him and draft a quarterback. Mm. That's what you're telling me. That's what you're telling me.
Well, it seems like he's being fast-tracked out the back door in Green Bay. He did have a sensational opener, but I remind you, he had a really good game at Chicago. They had a huge game.
He had that.
Okay, he didn't have that, but they had a big win at Chicago to start last year, and he wound up 18th in QBR and 21st in completion percentage. Year before, big opener.
He got hurt. Stop.
Okay, but he got hurt in the opener at Lambeau against the rival Bears.
Yes.
Khalil Mack got him.
Yes.
And he literally rose from the NFL dead almost.
Win and a half. And came back out with a brace.
Came back out with a brace, and they were down.
And did that.
They were down 20-3 entering the fourth quarter.
He did that.
And they roared back to win 24-23, and he threw a 75-yard touchdown pass to little Randall Cobb that vaulted them back with 2 minutes to go into the lead. And what happened after that? And then he finished 16th in QBR and 26th in completion percentage.
The man was hurt all year long. Okay. He had that knee brace on for at least the first 8-9 weeks of the season. You know, he's not used to Tom Brady can wear a knee brace because he's used to wearing the knee brace. Peyton Manning wore a knee brace. Elway, Marino. Yep. But guys that are not used to wearing that, they don't just put those on just for show. Mm. I mean, we was growing up, everybody wanted to wear a neck roll. You play wide receiver, you play quarterback, you had a neck roll because that was the cool thing.
It was.
Skill. Yep. The man wearing the knee brace. Mm. You think he wanted to wear it because he was cool? He already swagged out.
2017 opener, he threw for 311 and outgunned Russell Wilson at Lambeau. And after that, he was mostly just sort of hurt the whole year, and it was just like a non-year.
Oh, he was hurt.
So I'm just saying, 3 straight openers, he's been really good. Now 4 straight. Now show me. Now do it the rest of the year.
He will.
Use that as a springboard. I want to see MVP.
He sprung board into 13-3. Yeah, okay. Could I interest you in that? And won the division. Went to the NFC Championship game.
They got beat by other Aaron.
You see?
Jones. Really? Well, I kept telling you all year, I think it's that guy's.
So let me ask you a question.
Most of the
if I take Aaron Rodgers out of that offense and I put Jordan Love in there, you think he's going to do that?
I don't know. I haven't seen Jordan Love play yet.
We're going to talk about Saquon. Mm-hmm. Look at when you don't got no quarterback. And you just got the running back. You see what they do?
Yep.
Okay. Mm. Okay. You keep on thinking now. Aaron Jones, no. He loosened that thing up.
Is Aaron going to get to play against Cameron Dantzler and Holton Hill from here on?
In the league.
Okay. I'm just waiting and seeing.
Well.
I want to see MVP. This is the greatest throw of the football ever. And he threw it right down Minnesota's
throat. Who they got next week? You'll see it. You'll see it again.
I have no idea.
Just imagine they didn't spend that game another wide receiver or got him a nice tight end, got him a weapon, another weapon.
Yep.
Because you do realize, with the exception of Adams, who's a second-round draft pick, all those other guys are free agents. Mm. He's throwing the free agents and fifth-rounders. Mm. What is Mike Evans? What was Mike Evans drafted? What was Gronk? Mm. Oh, they're pretty good, huh? Okay. Oh, O.J. Howard, is he any good?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Told you. He went from the
worst. My guy ain't got that.
Worst receiving core in New England to maybe the best in Tampa.
Gave another weapon. They should have gave him one more weapon so he could have been like Mahomes. Mm. My homeboy. Mm. But my homeboy got something for you in about week 3 or week 4.
Yep.
Yeah, he got something for you.
Okay, here we go.
For a lot of people. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
The Giants' offense struggled getting any rhythm in the ground game during their 26-16 loss to the Steelers last night. Saquon Barkley gained just 6 yards on 15 carries, which comes out to an average of 0.4 yards per rush. And after the game, Barkley said he's, quote, not really too concerned about the stats. The Steelers have a great defensive front. I have to be better for the team. We're now joined by Super Bowl champ and our very own college football analyst, Reggie Bush. Reggie, is Saquon Barkley overrated or underrated?
Absolutely. He's not overrated at all. And I love the quote Saquon Barkley said that, now listen, their offensive line just got beat up. Every time he got the football, he had two or three defenders in the backfield. And it's very hard for any running back, I don't care who he is, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, whoever, it's very hard to be effective with only 6 carries. You can't ask me my yards per carry to go up with less attempts. Like, it doesn't work like that. And so I'm looking at Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's the offensive coordinator. You came from the Dallas Cowboys with Zeke Elliott, right? And then you go to the New York Giants where they have Saquon Barkley and you only give him the football 6 times, right? They don't have that many playmakers on that team, right, to not give the ball to Saquon Barkley enough. He is their playmaker on that football team. And so why wouldn't you want to give him the football more times, right? And so what it comes down to is this coaching staff, and it comes down to Jason Garrett, right? He threw the football 41 times, and you kind of left your running back, your workhorse, because that's exactly what Saquon Barkley is. He's a workhorse. You kind of left him out there on the island, didn't give him enough opportunities, and you threw the football 41 times. You had two interceptions, two bad interceptions by Daniel Jones that were blatant that you just can't do in the red zone. And so to me, there are a lot of issues on this New York Giants football team, and it's not Saquon Barkley. You cannot say that a guy is overrated when you just haven't given him enough opportunities to show you if he's good or not still.
You know, Reggie, I agree with everything you said, but you know who I know Jason Garrett was the offensive coordinator? Because of 15 carries that Saquon got, 8 of them came on first down. Don't that remind you what Zeke did last year's game?
6 carries.
I know you were looking at that. You said, that's Jason. He doing Jason Garrett type things.
Yep.
We saw the clip.
That was 6 yards.
How are you going to get anything when they hand you the ball and Bud Dupree hits you in the back? They hand you the ball in 92. I don't remember his name. They're all over him. He can't even get out the backfield. So I guess the offensive line need to run more wind sprints. Because Joe Judge, they ain't running enough. Because that was pathetic, Skip. That was awful. And Daniel Jones, Skip, you can't have. They're not good enough to overcome those types of mistakes.
Yep.
And when you turn the ball over like they're turning it over, it's gonna be tough for Saquon. Because you know why? Because they're gonna crowd the line of scrimmage. Because they're saying, we do not believe your quarterback is good enough to beat us. We know what Saquon Barkley can do. So what we're gonna do, we're going to make you throw the football. And we don't believe your line can hold up, and we don't believe your quarterback, if he does have time, is going to make enough of the right decisions. Mm. Saquon Barkley is fine, but I don't, as you said, Richard, I don't care who you are. You get tackled. I think they had a stat up last night. 11 of his 15 carries, Skip, he was hit either behind or at the line of scrimmage. I don't know what you expect him to do now. He ain't even going to make no water out of wine. Mm. So that's not on Saquon. The offensive line got to get at least get him to the line of scrimmage clean? Can we do that, Skip? Can we get him to the line of scrimmage? Can we get him past the line of scrimmage 1 yard without somebody hitting him?
Mm.
No, they said, no, we can't do that.
Okay, it is now Dr. Doom's turn over here. Somebody's got to tell the truth on this show. I'm going to tell the truth about Saquon. I love to watch his games because I wait for the one or two plays a game that will just light up my TV screen. He is a highlight waiting to happen. And if we could see the one play last night, it's a little screen pass to the right, 38 yards. He hurdles one of the Steelers. You get him in space, you got trouble. You got Reggie Bush problems here. Look at this. He's going to hurdle a DB. I'll watch that 20 times in a row. Watch the highlight. Mm-hmm. But here's the point. If you're talking about a bell cow, if you're talking about a workhorse, if you're talking about a Zeke or Derrick Henry, he is overrated. He is a luxury back. He is whipped cream. He is icing. You eat some cake. You love that icing. It's the sweetest icing you can ever find because a play or two a game is just going to knock you out of your chair. But the problem is this was a classic Saquon game. And I get you. Listen, Pittsburgh was flying last night on defense because they can fly. And obviously their whole game plan was to make sure he does not get loose because if you let him loose, he is going to hurt you bad. So what did we see? We saw 15 carries for 6 yards with a long of 7 yards. He got, quote, unquote, loose for 7 yards. So he had 14 carries for minus one. Think about that. 14 times you give him the ball, and it totals minus 1 yards. He got loose for the 138-yarder, and he caught 6 balls for 60. So if you subtract the 38, he caught 5 for 22. That's 4 yards a catch. Okay, what did I keep telling you his rookie year? If you look at all his games he played as a rookie and you subtract his longest rush per game, he averaged 49 rush yards per game as a rookie. If you subtract his longest catch, he averaged 24 yards catching the ball as a rookie. That's 73 combined yards, and it's not that big a deal. Same last year. Subtract the longest rush, he averaged 50 rush yards a game. Subtract the longest pass, 12 catch yards per game, totaling 62 yards a game. So, but I'm taking away the splash play.
But you like that. But you said that's what you didn't like about Zeke because he didn't give you splash plays.
Okay, but he is a pounder, grinder, workhorse back. And you were advocating earlier in the show, just let him pound, let him grind.
How many yards you think Zeke would have got last night behind that offensive line?
Well, more than minus 0.4.
I bet you he would not have.
No.
Huh? Oh,
bet
no.
You, no, sir.
He can make
Put Saquon behind the Cowboys offensive line. And put Zeke behind the Giants offensive line.
I told you at Penn State, I didn't see him pound the ball between the tackles. I don't think you can establish the run. Jason tried to last night. He tried to establish the run with Saquon. He's not that guy.
Skip, no, his offensive line aren't those guys.
Yeah, let Reggie talk. Go ahead, I want to hear this.
He tried to establish a line with the offensive line that wasn't blocking for him. You know what I mean? Every time Saquon touched the football, Bud Dupree's in the backfield. T.J. Watt's in the backfield. They got corners and safeties getting involved in the run game. So if you're Saquon Barkley, and I love the postgame interview where he said, I got to go back to the film, I got to be better. No, you don't. Your offensive line needs to be better so that you can get some opportunities to be in space because, like, I'm so glad you showed that clip, Skip, of when he did get loose on that screen because that's the only time he had space in that football game. Mm. Other than that, Saquon Barkley didn't have space. And then you look at Saquon Barkley is literally built to be a workhorse. Who has thighs bigger than Saquon Barkley, right? So you can't say that Zeke, you know, on one end is way, you know, he's that much better than the Saquon Barkley because he's not, because he has a better offensive line, he has better weapons around him. And
better
unfortunately, Saquon Barkley, better quarterback. And unfortunately for Saquon Barkley, this is going to happen every single game. He's going to see 8 to 9 to 10 guys in the box every single game because they don't have any weapons at receiver, and Daniel Jones is showing you that he's going to throw interceptions if you get pressure on him.
Yeah. So, Reggie Bush, when you came to the National Football League, were you a workhorse back or a home run hitter?
I was a home run hitter, but, yeah, that's the category they put me in. I was a workhorse back, but they categorized me as a home run hitter.
Okay, so where did you have your most success? Which line was the best blocking for what Reggie Bush did best?
Honestly, Miami Dolphins. When I went to Miami Dolphins, that's when I ran the football well. That's when I got the football a lot. I got 20 to 25 carries every single football game, and I got opportunities to show I could be a workhorse, I could be an every down back. So my best run performances were in Miami when I saw 8 to 9 guys in the box.
And Reggie, what was your average playing weight? What did you weigh when you got to Miami? Were you 205, 210?
205, 206, maybe. Okay. That was the heaviest.
Okay. And again, we're looking at Derrick Henry now. What's he weigh? You stood next to him. 250 or 60?
255, 260.
255, yeah, he big.
Okay. Saquon's probably 235.
He doesn't play 235 to me. Yeah. He doesn't have 235 impact to me. That's just me. Zeke has impact at a 225-ish.
Yeah, the Zeke got that offensive line. Yeah. It's the thing is, Skip, is that when you watch this, I don't know how it's frustrating. I know it's frustrating for Saquon, and he'll never say this, but they're wasting 2-3 of his great years because his offensive line isn't any good. And that's sad because teams are going to stack the box because they do not believe that their quarterback can beat them. At least Zeke has a quarterback, a competent enough quarterback. And I'm not saying Daniel Jones might not be good down the road. He's just not good enough right now to garner the respect from a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Because, Skip, I mean, how's Bud Dupree? He don't even care about anything. He ain't even worried about no boot. What if they run a reverse? He going straight to the ball. T.J. Watt coming downhill. As Reggie said, they're bringing corners and safety. They say, we don't even care nothing about it. We'll sacrifice our back end because we already know you can't get the ball out there.
Yep. Hey, they're going to do that to a lot of runners this year. They're really good on defense.
Well, you better not be doing that to Lamar Jackson.
That's why
I feel for Saquon Barkley in this situation because, again, he is just a product of his environment. He's just doing the best that he can with what he can.
Right.
But like I said, at the end of the day, that man is going to see 8 to 9 to 10 guys in the box every single time because there is not one receiver over there that scares you with their back end speed. There's not one guy over there that's consistently getting separation that makes you feel like, okay, we need to double team this guy. Yeah. We got to focus our game.
I like Slayton.
So do I.
I like Slayton. Ingram, I need to see more from Ingram. Skip, the guy ran 4-4. He's flashed at times, but it's time now to stop flashing. It's time for you to stay on all the time. Ain't no flashing. No, you need to stay lit.
I agree with that. No mercy.
Tonight, we've got some baseball coming your way on FS1. Catch Matt Olson and the A's as they take on the Rockies. The action begins at 8 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. While the Cowboys took an L on Sunday night, one bright spot was Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke ran for 96 yards, caught 3 passes for another 31 yards, and scored Dallas's only 2 touchdowns of the evening. The success didn't go unnoticed, with Pro Football Focus naming Elliott as the NFL's best running back week 1. Reggie Bush is still with us. Reggie, should the Cowboys feed Zeke more? And give me your thoughts on the tattoo, too.
Absolutely, they should feed Zeke more. And I love the tattoo, feed me, because that's exactly what you should do. Feed him more, and not just in the run game. Feed him in the pass game. Get him involved in space, because at the end of the day, you want to preserve Zeke. You don't want to keep banging him up 20, 25, 30 times each and every game, right? So to me, the question has always been, is Mike McCarthy going to be patient enough with the run game to allow it to continue to evolve? Because what happened to when he was in Green Bay, right? He loved to throw the football, and he threw the football a lot with Aaron Rodgers, rightfully so. But this is a different football team. This football team is built differently. Now you have a great running back. You have an elite running back behind your quarterback, and now you have options. And so to me, is Mike McCarthy going to be patient enough, right? Because, listen, they already lost one football game. They lose another football game, they might just start throwing it all over the place. And so I just want to see, because Mike McCarthy always talked about how in that year off, he studied, he learned, he kind of retaught himself the game. So, okay, here we are. You lost your first game of the season, right? Are you going to start airing it out, or are you going to be patient enough to continue to feed Zeke? Because Zeke, the offense has always flown through Zeke, and that's how they have gotten their success. That's how they won football games. And there's stats to back it up to show that when Zeke is fed the football enough times, it usually equals in a W.
Go ahead.
No, you go. I got to hear from the Hall of
Fame. You already know how I feel about this. I've just been trying to share this, tell Skip this, but Skip was, you know, he loves Dak. Ever since he saw Dak in the preseason, he didn't want to hear anything else about Zeke Elliott. But I'm a firm believer that If they run Zeke, give him his opportunities. And I believe somewhere the carries, maybe he could have got a few more carries, but I agree with you, Reggie. Somewhere between 25 and 30 touches a game. They don't all have to be rushes. But he's shown his ability each year. He's gotten better at catching the football out of the backfield. Use that aspect of his ball game. And so now when they start worrying about him, now that's going to open up CeeDee Lamb. That's going to open up the other guys. But when they can run the football, now the play action. You look at Dak, 9 of 11 play actions, 11 yards per attempt. 9 play action, 16 to 28, 5 yards per attempt. Those linebackers, they got to, because they don't want to get Zeke have a head of steam coming downhill. So they're going to start stepping up to try to fill those gaps. And CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Amari is going to be wide open in those creases that were vacated by those linebackers. So Zeke definitely needs to touch the ball more. And you saw Kansas City just say, look here, we got the best quarterback in football, and we're going to take a running back in the first round. So I don't really know what else to say. You can't say, well, Dak wants $40-plus million. Hell, Mahomes makes $45 million, and Andy Reid just ran the ball. And we know who loves to throw the ball more than Andy Reid, Skip. No. And he would have got it back in the first round. So I do believe they need to run Zeke a little more, give him more opportunities. That will open up Dak in the passing game, and they can have a lot of success doing it that way. Mm.
So, Reggie Bush, as I watched my Cowboys lose at Rams on Sunday night, there were two revelations in the game. Alden Smith looks like he's back to being a monster after 5 years away from the game. I'll take that. And Zeke looked like Zeke again to me. After last year, I kept telling Shannon, he came back late to training camp, just in time for the season opener. And he had been training by himself in Cabo San Lucas the whole training camp, and he looked like he was running in Cabo San the whole year. He never looked fit. He had that little second chin all year, just that little one hanging down, and it bothered me because I don't think he ever got quite right.
Well, he was feeding. You said feed him.
Okay,
feed me.
Sunday night at Rams, Zeke had more pep in his step.
He did.
He looked sleeker. Yeah. He looked fitter. He looked a little meaner. He hit the holes with more impact and body lean than I saw all of last year. And I loved it, man. It took my breath away a couple times on that one little swing pass that he took home from 19 yards. I said, he was not going to be denied the end zone on that play. Well, that guy, if he's back, I'm with you. Again, he makes $15 million, and my quarterback makes almost $32 million. But you're saying feed the $15 million beast, right? And I can't disagree from what I saw, because my passing attack in the second half sputtered. Dak threw for 79 total yards in the second half, and he made one clutch all-time great throw, and he got robbed on it because it was not pass interference. Yeah. It's a joke. It was standard
was
business
fair.
As usual.
Yeah, 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 Reggie.
It was hand fighting. Reggie, what is wrong with you? He did not extend on him. Jalen Ramsey sold it. He effectively flopped. He looked like he got whiplash. It was a joke. And you robbed me of a shot at least overtime. Maybe they would have won the game. I don't know. But the point is, here comes Atlanta. They can throw it all over the lot. I still have a little bit of a suspect secondary. So feed the beast. You know, he had 22 for 96. I'm okay with 30 on Sunday. I would see 30 carries.
Yeah.
30 carries and throw it to him, as Reggie said, 4 or 5 times. I like that.
But like you said, though, sometimes you fall into the trap because the team the previous week threw the ball up and down the field. You see what Russell Wilson did. Russell had 5 incompletions. He had 4 touchdowns.
I think he had 4. Wasn't it 31 or 35?
Was it 31 or 35 or 30 or 30? But you're looking at that, you're like, man, that's going to be me. Let me get them touches early.
Okay, so Reggie, what's the top number? Would you give him 30 carries? Would you give him 35 carries in a game? What's the limit?
I would give Zeke 30 to 35 touches. I wouldn't necessarily make them all carries. Because at the end of the day, you've seen what he can do out of the backfield. You see that you can even line him up maybe at receiver and get him involved in passing game, because nobody wants to tackle Zeke one-on-one. No linebackers, no safeties, no cornerbacks want to tackle this man one-on-one, because he runs with great pad leverage, right? And that was one of the things I think we were comparing Saquon Barkley versus Zeke Elliott,
yep.
Zeke runs with pad leverage. Every time he falls, he's falling forward, right? And so that's why you want to give the ball to somebody like Zeke, because you know even if he gets hit and stopped, he's still going to fall for another two or three extra yards.
Yep, and he is going to punish a defense over four quarters, mm-hmm. and it's Derrick Henry-esque where you don't want to tackle him.
Well, you know, Skip, I'm going to let the game determine how many touches he actually gets. Because as you mentioned earlier, that game against Washington, it was raining. He got 30-plus touches because it dictated that.
33.
Skip, if I'm running the football and y'all can't stop him, oh, he might get 30 touches and have 200 yards. But if, you know, y'all stop him and I see y'all try to stack the box, okay, I'm going to throw it, loosen y'all up, and hand it to him some more. So I'm going to let the game determine how much he gets the ball. But knowing that he's still a young Zeke is, what, 25? So he still is fairly young, even though he's, you know, he's been the bell cow workhorse back since he stepped in Dallas. Oh, I'm going to let him get his touches, and I'm going to let the game determine how many of those touches per game he gets, especially in the run game. But I'm definitely going to run him at least 20 times a game, and if I can get him another 5 to 8 throwing it to him, I'm going to do that also.
So, Reggie, what do you remember your most combined touches in a game in the NFL?
I don't remember what my most combined touches were in a game, but I knew. But one thing I do know is every time I touched the football, and if it was 20 plus times, I was very effective.
Really?
I had probably an average about 4.5, 5 yards a carry or a touch. But that's what a running back is, right? When you think about Saquon Barkley, you think about Zeke Elliott. They need opportunities. They need touches. They need opportunities to get to a rhythm in the football game, to get a feel for the defense, how they're playing them, how they're tackling them. How they're tackling the running backs.
Yeah.
So that's why I say you got to feed these kind of guys.
Do you remember at USC your most carries off the top of your head?
It probably would have been about 15, about anywhere between 15 and like 18.
Okay, no more than that.
Most.
Really?
Yeah, no more than that.
Oh, I would have thought more, man.
But look at Barry, Skip. Think about how many times he lose 50. Lose 35. And you look at like, hold on. How did Barry end up? I saw him lose like on 10 possessions. He lost like 40 yards. And he ends up with 120 yards rushing on the game. But that's how he is. Those guys, you can't just give. I mean, sometimes in college, you look at a guy, oh, man, he had 8 carries for 95 yards. Just imagine if. No. Mm. Barry, these running backs, they need touches. They need 20, 25 touches to get going. Mm. And especially a bell cow like a Derrick Henry or guys like that.
Yep.
The more you give it to him, ED said, the more you gave me the ball, the fresher I seem to have getting, because they going to get tired of tackling me.
Yeah. By the way, the Cowboys went in to play a playoff game, I think it was 91, at Detroit, and they said, we are going to stop Barry Sanders, Jimmy Johnson, Dave Wannstedt. And they took Barry completely out of the game, and Eric Kramer threw a party.
He did.
You remember this? He threw for like 400 yards, and they got blown off
the
turf.
And that was the last time they lost in the playoffs.
That's correct.
Reggie, always a pleasure to have you joining us. We appreciate your time, and we'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
Tom Brady's debut with the Bucs didn't go as planned, as the 6-time champ threw 2 interceptions and often found himself and his new receivers on different pages during Sunday's 34-23 loss to the Saints. While Bruce Arians was critical of his QB's play, Brady shared an inspirational quote from French philosopher Albert Camus on Instagram after the game, which said, "In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love." I personally like that. Shannon, do you think Brady is second-guessing his choice of coach?
Skip, after one game, we got inspiration. We got to flip inspiration.
Yeah.
I mean, really, after one game, Skip, that's where we are?
Yep. Maybe after one post-game.
Oh.
Is that possible?
Skip, no, I don't think he is. I think the thing is that Tom had to have known what he was getting himself into. Skip, this is who B.A. is. This is who Bruce Arians is. This is him. Skip, he's harsh in his critique. Yes, his offense allows quarterbacks, but he's very harsh in his critique of the quarterback. And there's, and of all players, Skip, you remember he had O.J. out in the doghouse for like 6 weeks last year.
He did.
And Jameis, every week, we just can't make those throws. We can't turn the ball over that. Bruce, do you think you could win games if you didn't turn the ball over? If we win games with a quarterback turning it over like that, we can win games without it. Mm-hmm. So this is who he is, Skip. Look, at the end of the day, Tom Brady knew what he was getting into because he wanted weapons. And the only way he was going to get those weapons was he had to go to Tampa. Mm. At this stage of his game, Skip, he's not the Tom of 10, 15 years ago where he can take anybody and make them better. Mm. He needs help now. And the help came in the form of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and those other weapons. But they were attached to Tampa. And so this is what you had to do. Skip, a bear wants honey. Mm-hmm. He knows what's going to happen. He's willing to take those bee stings to get that honey. Tom Brady was willing to take that tongue lashing in order to get those weapons, so it gives him an opportunity to win and to win big.
Not behind closed doors tongue lashing, a public tongue lashing.
Yeah, now they do, you know.
Not like Belichick behind closed doors out on the practice field tongue lashing. It's to the world. Well, it's to all the gathered media. Come one, come all. He was garbage.
It is. Stop that. Yeah. But hold on. Wait a minute. Now, you didn't have a problem. Coach Belichick didn't praise Tom publicly. You wanted him to praise him publicly, but you wanted him to chastise him behind closed doors. So if you get chastised behind closed doors, mm-hmm. you get praised behind closed doors.
All right. Back to the quote that Jenny read, and she used the French pronunciation because she speaks fluent French.
Yeah.
I don't, but I did read a book called The Plague, a novel called The Plague by Albert, and I'm just going to go American here, Camus, because I called him Camus.
That's pretty good.
Albert Camus. And he's an existential philosopher, and he can really write. Mm-hmm. And I love The Plague. And by the way, it was eerily reflective of what the world is going through right now. And it came out in 1947.
Okay.
But I thought it was Brady, because he can be kind of corny, clever with his posts. Mm-hmm. He was having to hear how great Cam was up in his own stomping grounds. So he went Camus in his IG post. And it's a poignant quote. And he's saying, in the midst of hate, I found there was within me invincible love. And the last line Jenny read, no matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me there's something stronger, something better pushing right back. It's a great quote. Mm-hmm. It's true. And yet, it was poignant to me because this is a man who got knocked on his backside. Mm-hmm. And I think it was more post-game than in-game. Because I told you as we opened this show, he made one really bad choice. Mm-hmm. It was a bad decision, it was a bad idea, and it was poorly executed, and it cost them 7 points the wrong direction.
Skip, I also believe that B.A. wants him to take, you say there were 6 big-time throws. Mm-hmm. I believe B.A. wants him to take 12 of those. Put the ball up.
Okay.
But that's not Tom.
So he tied Aaron Rodgers for the most big-time throws on Sunday.
Right.
6 of them. In New England last year, he had no more than 3 in a game, and those came in the first 3 games.
Right.
So the last 13 games of the year last year, he had no more than 1 big-time throw per game.
Right.
And he had 6 at New Orleans against the best defense he'll face all year.
But, Skip, here's the point. And that offense is meant to produce more big-time throws than what you're customarily
used
to.
And he's got weapons he did not have last year.
And and that's what B.A. is saying. B.A. wants him to take more opportunity, take more chances.
So why wouldn't Bruce Arians, who is all of 1-2 as a head coach in the postseason, why wouldn't he give him just a little bit of break? Because it's not going to get any tougher than that game at New Orleans throughout the whole 16-game schedule. Mm-hmm. They had no preseason. He had been to battle no times with anybody on that field except for Gronkowski, who was sort of a no-show in the game. Why wouldn't you give him a break and say, Tom made some really big-time throws in that game, but he made one mistake? And Bruce Arians wrongly convicted him of one really bad throw up the seam, which resulted in the other interception, and then he backed off yesterday and said, my bad, actually, that was Mike Evans' fault.
Mike Evans was smart. Mike Evans says, I'm not running down the hole in quarters and get decapitated. But, Skip, let me tell you what. He can come up with all the quotes he wants. Mm-hmm. He can do Camé, Chamé, and what does that? Camu.
Yep.
He can do Camu, Caribou. It doesn't matter.
Camu, the killer whale.
Yeah.
Yep.
At the end of the day, Skip, stop worrying about what they say. I thought you told Tom Brady didn't worry about what people say. Mm. Now he all of a sudden, he worried about hearing what people say. They hating him. Tom Brady, the guy, he's an assassin. Nothing bothers Tom. I keep telling you, Skip Bayless, these people are more. Just because you can throw a football really, really well, because you can jump high and shoot a basketball, you're still human at the core.
Mm.
And people can say things. And now they know, Tom Brady here, I thought Tom Brady would listen to what would nobody say. Mm. Come to find out, he hear more than what we've been thinking.
So Tom Brady inspires more hate than any player in the National Football League, and much of it is detonated by that man across the table from me.
All I said, hold up. All I said was, you knew what you were getting when you went to Tampa.
Well, did you? Did you think he's going to tear your opening game apart publicly when you made only one really bad choice the whole game? One bad decision. The other one was Mike Evans' fault. And you make six big-time throws to Mike Evans deep, two pass interferences, to Scotty Miller twice deep, one pass interference, one a big completion. And that first one, what's his name?
Chris Godwin.
Godwin was he dropped right down the chimney.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That looked goatish to me.
Oh, it looked goatish to you? Skip, look, I get it. Coach Belichick was praising Cam. And you got to be careful about this, Skip. This happens all the time. We've all had relationships. You live a relationship, and the other party start dating somebody. Ooh, that's the best thing. I ain't never been so in love in my life. I ain't never had nobody treat me like this in all my life. They say all that thing. And then 6 months later, they broke up. I thought that was the love of your life.
Yep.
You ain't have anybody to treat you like this. Yep. He wash your feet and open the door for you.
It got real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, look, I ain't putting all that, I get what Coach Belichick is doing. I get all that. And I get what B.A. B.A. is harsh in his assessment. For me, like I said, if I'm Tom Brady and I'm going into a new situation, Skip, I'm going to address with B.A. how to address me publicly before I even sign. Because I'm not used to this.
Who would be?
I'm not used to this.
Is it possible that B.A. was actually trying to take a little focus on the fact his team overall was not prepared to play at New Orleans?
Skip.
See nine penalties for 103.
Think about what he said about Donovan Smith. Ooh. He said Donovan Smith was going against the worst of the pass rusher and had the worst game. I'm like, whoa.
Are you that good? Are you Bill Belichick?
Hey, Skip, that's it.
Well. Bruce Arians is.
He said my defense
spotlight.
Played good enough for us to win, but we didn't get great QB play.
Oh, really?
That would be a thing.
That's what he said.
Regardless of what you guys think about Tom Brady, 26 million people tuned in to watch America's Game of the Week.
They hate him so bad.
Since the Super Bowl, people want to know what the 43-year-old is going to do next. So we can't debate that one.
Mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.